Hey, this is Everett Marshall, producer of The Scalpel, and this is part two of a two-part episode. If you're finding this episode first, drop back one episode. You'll want to hear that one before you hear this one. Soft power, hard consequences. Today, Dr. Rose goes even deeper, and he walks us through Event 201. What was Event 201? Well, it was a roundtable of experts wargaming a pandemic, and this happened about 6 weeks before the first reports of COVID-19 hit. What does that mean? Well, let's take a look.
The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
Cutting down to the truth through history and experience. The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, or the website scalpeledge.com.
The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Dr. Keith Rose, welcome back to The Scalpel. We're talking about soft power. Soft power that ends up producing hard consequences. It was soft power that promoted lockdowns for the coronavirus. It was soft power that put us on a course of a panic-demic and didn't get us the actual, us being the United States and countries around the world, the actual information. Even though several doctors that believe in true science, that understand truth, tried to come out and say, this is not true. Yet they were shut down completely. They were shut down completely because there was a well-oiled disinformation program going on and continuing to this day. But we should have known. I mentioned to you before that in October, there was an event sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation called Event 21. That's the same Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that has provided grant money to the group that actually holds the patent for the coronavirus. And that doesn't mean Bill and Melinda Gates hold that patent. It doesn't mean they're directly responsible for it, but there is a connection there. There is a connection to the Pybright Institute and virus patents, but I guess you'd have to look that up. But the event was a gathering of experts and provided professionally produced, listen to this, fabricated news reports to possible scenarios to a viral pandemic. And this is just 6 weeks before the first case in Wuhan, China. Essentially, they were checking possible scenarios, you know, not unlike the Election Integrity Project, looking at election scenarios and wargaming different ideas. You know, that's what they did back in October of last year when they should have been watching football, when you could watch football, I guess. And these exercises allowed elites and public relations professionals to get ahead of multiple narratives by wargaming them and developing information strategies to counter any narrative or truth other than the narrative that was actually happening to achieve, I guess, you know, their goals. But don't let's take my words for it. Let's just listen to the actual words of the conference. I looked up the video from this conference, and it's getting harder and harder to find, but there is a YouTube site by Spiros Skocras called The Endgame, and he had several cuts of this video. This young man did an outstanding job on it, and he, like me, we don't do this to make a living or make money. My income is not derived from my podcast. I'm strictly behind this microphone, and I do appreciate the support because I do hire a producer and I'm trying to grow this podcast, but it's not about the money. I don't need the money. It actually probably harms me more than not, although I don't worry. My faith is in God. I'm behind this microphone because I believe in this nation, and I believe the only thing for evil to go forward is only if good men don't stand up and say something. And I'm probably not the best man, but I'm someone that loves this nation and have spent the majority of my life serving it. So I found this interesting cuts, several cuts, and I put them together in a way that I think you'll be able to understand it, and I'll step you through, and we'll have a little, we'll take you guys all to subversion school, and we'll learn more about this disinformation. So now this is event 201. It's coincidentally 6 weeks before the first case. Now I can tell you in intelligence, there's no such thing as a coincidence, but evidently in soft power maneuvering, there is. So when they opened this, they had actually a master of ceremonies. And this lady is up in front of this small group of people reading from, I'm watching the video, a teleprompter. And we'll post Mr. Skokra's YouTube channel in this video. And this is what she had to say. Cut one.
Hello, everyone. I'm Anita Cicero, Deputy Director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. And today I will be your master of ceremonies for Event 201. On behalf of our center and our partners, the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the goal of the Event 201 exercise is to illustrate the potential consequences of a pandemic and the kinds of societal and economic challenges it would pose. Today's scenario is going to simulate meetings of a multi-stakeholder group called the Pandemic Emergency Board. This board has been urgently convened by the World Economic Forum, and Johns Hopkins has been asked to moderate the board meetings and provide expertise during the board's deliberations. The mission of the Pandemic Emergency Board is to provide recommendations to deal with the major global challenges arising in response to an unfolding pandemic. The board's recommendations are aimed at top decision makers in national governments, global business, and international organizations.
There you go. We have a gathering of the elite. It's supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johns Hopkins, and they're looking at the potential of a pandemic just 6 weeks before the actual pandemic came out. And they're doing this because they want to help, I don't know, the international banking community. That's one of the sponsors. They want to help the major companies, the major global companies. Now, they're having this in the United States of America. They're talking about a global pandemic. So let's see what they really had to say, because they're going to start out and you're going to hear, it's a little long cut, I'm going to be interrupting it. They're going to talk about potential scenarios. Now, I'm going to post this video, but I will tell you, in one of the scenarios, they put up a slide and it says Daily Mail. And listen to this. It says, you may see something like this, which would be considered disinformation. And the slide looks like the cover of the front page of the Daily Mail. It says, China built a lab to study SARS and Ebola in Wuhan, and U.S. biosafety experts warned in 2017 that a virus could escape the facility that's become key in fighting the outbreak. They literally pointed to the fence and hit the ball straight over it. The virus could escape the facility in Wuhan, China, 6 weeks before the virus escaped the facility in Wuhan, China. They're not even supposed to know that it's in Wuhan, China. Did they pull that out of the magic soft power sphere? I mean, you literally, like Alice in the Wonderland, have to believe six impossibilities every morning before you have breakfast. And the fact that they're saying that U.S. safety experts are going to warn that a virus could escape from the facility, guess what? They did. And that was in 2018. This meeting's in 2019. Because it had happened already at a level 4 facility in Beijing. And they had already sanctioned the Wuhan facility. You can look this up on the CDC website. But hey, nothing to see here, right? So let's listen to what they had to say. Cut to.
The scenario you will be presented with this morning could easily become one a shared reality one day. I fully expect that we will be confronted by a fast-moving, highly lethal pandemic of a respiratory pathogen.
Okay, when this man is saying he fully believes that we're going to be confronted by this, this is 6 weeks before they ever had a case in China. This is in October before we had the panic pandemic. Is a member of the World Health Organization and, you know, they're under the United Nations. So let's listen to what they say could happen. Let's listen to their scenario.
Respiratory pathogen.
It began in healthy-looking pigs months, perhaps years ago. A new coronavirus spread silently within herds. Gradually, farmers started getting sick. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died.
Stop right here for a second. This is what they're telling us could possibly happen. I don't know about these guys, but everybody there should go to the dog track, the horse track, or straight to Vegas, because they're going to bat 1,000 on this one continuously.
The spread was limited to those with close contacts, healthcare personnel, coworkers, and families. But now it's spreading rapidly throughout local communities. International travel has turned local epidemics into a pandemic spanning the globe. Just 3 months ago, CAP started in South America, but has now reached several countries with more than 30,000 cases and nearly 2,000 deaths.
Now, this simulation they just set up is letting us know that this is going to be bad. Some people won't have bad symptoms. Some people will. Some people will die. You know, something like what just happened. They're already telling us what's going to happen. Now, remember I started off the first segment talking about the tests and how they're not quite scientific, but they're quite easy to manipulate. So you have a group of elites, people from the World Health Organization, the CDC, the United Nations, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, you know, the potential globalist rulers of the world. They're all together. And they're setting the stage. They're having a dry run. But then they continue because they need to tell us what to be careful of.
Global health experts have highlighted that dis and misinformation are wreaking havoc on the CAP's response. Health workers are under attack in a number of locations due to rumors that they are purposely spreading the disease. And response efforts in many...
Hold on just a second. Let me set this up better for you. You have the CAPS is what they're calling their pretend disease. Their viral breakout is called CAPS. And interesting enough, it's a coronavirus type SARS virus that their pretend virus is called CAPS. And they're going to tell us how everyone's going to react. This is a scenario that they're seeing, but listen to their words and listen to, I don't know, their pronouns, their tenses. It gets pretty interesting. Continue.
Places have had to be suspended because of concerns around violence. Pharmaceutical companies are being accused of introducing the CAPS virus so they can make money on drugs and vaccines, and have seen public faith in their products plummet.
Stop right there. He listened to this lady. They're doing a simulation. She's talking, and she's literally up in front of these people reading from a script. She's saying, this is what's going to happen. Because of misinformation, it's going to appear that people are just doing this to justify vaccines and things like that. See, they're already getting ready for what people might say. But I would tell them, you don't have to get ready for what people might say. They could look back to, I don't know, 2010, when the postmortem was done on H1N1. And the head of the EU Parliamentary Health Committee, Wolfgang Woodarg, talked about what was going on with the virus and with vaccines and the problem it caused. So I don't know why they would think that people wouldn't trust vaccine companies when you have a European health leader who came out publicly, and it was all over the country at this time.
Deadly influenza pandemic, or nothing worse than a mild case of the flu. Here in Thailand, their swine flu vaccination program has just begun. But in other parts of the world, serious questions are being raised about the handling of the pandemic. Health officials around the world had believed swine flu could kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions. They introduced emergency measures and spent in excess of $20 billion on vaccines.
Okay. So what we just heard is how they were going to be careful in this dry run and watch for disinformation and having pharmaceutical companies attacked by loss of public trust. And they're concerned about that disinformation But I want you to listen. They talk about the World Health Organization, the United Nations, yet you just heard how billions of dollars were spent on something and testing standards were lowered to promote a pandemic that didn't quite turn out the way the elites, the globalists, and the vaccine companies said. So now that you heard the actual information from 2010, let's fast forward back and take our seat in the conference room or in the auditorium where event 201 is taking place in October of last year. So let's continue to listen to what they tell us about disinformation and what we have to be careful of.
Divisive messaging is rising and is exacerbating spread of the disease as levels of trust fall and people stop cooperating with response efforts. This is a massive problem, one that threatens governments and trusted institutions. National governments are considering or have already implemented a range of interventions to combat misinformation. Some governments have taken control of national access to the internet. Others are censoring websites and social media content. And a small number have shut down internet access completely to prevent the spread of misinformation. Penalties have been put in place for spreading harmful falsehoods, including arrests.
Including arrests. Meaning if you say something that they consider false, they're putting penalties in place. They're putting, sounds like this is a prelude to fact checkers. No, we didn't have that suddenly appear this year, did we? Has anyone seen as many fact checkers back when President Obama was president? You see, they failed in this back in 2009, 2010, so I guess they just learned from their mistakes. Not only did they learn from their mistakes, at this conference, they put together, produced, and you're going to see a fake prepackaged news company called Global Network News. Now, they tell you these are what the news reports are going to say. They even had a Chinese anchor speaking English on this news report, and I encourage you to watch this video. And this is what the prepacked fake news, their words, not mine, the Global News Network had to say, because they're getting ready for this soft power push. Continue.
Alarming news emerging from social media companies today about the CAPS pandemic. Twitter and Facebook are reporting they've identified and deleted a disturbing number of accounts dedicated to spreading disinformation about the outbreak. For more on this, we go to our correspondent, Catalina Parks.
Chen, these accounts were created by several state-sponsored groups intending to sow political discord. And some individuals are seemingly seeking to gain financial advantages. Violence against healthcare workers and minority populations has been increasing. A recent riot highlights the
Stop right there. Listen to, you can't make this up. You have a Chinese news anchor, and they're talking about this virus that in their scenario started in South America. This coronavirus that attacks the lungs and has SARS. And they're telling us that violence is happening in minority communities. Now, as you know, I'm a doctor. I understand what viruses are. I've been through a lot of them. I've actually been badged by the World Health Organization and worked in conjunction with them on projects. So I'm just a little curious how they're saying that this is going to happen. Oh, I forgot. It's called disinformation. Under the guise of preparing you not to accept disinformation, they're pushing out disinformation. And, you know, from an intelligence subversive standpoint, you got to give these guys some credit. I guess they just thought no one would ever actually watch their little meeting. Continue.
Danger in these posts. Countries are reacting in different ways as to how best to manage the overwhelming amounts of dis and misinformation circulating over the internet. In some cases, limited internet shutdowns are being implemented to quell panic.
To quell panic. They may have to do some internet shutdowns. You see, they have to explain why they're stealing your liberty in order to give you freedom or to quell panic, to protect you in order for safety. They have to shut down the internet. They're doing it for your safety. They want you to stay in your house. They want you to do that to keep yourself and everyone safe. They want you to wear a mask to keep everyone safe. Now, I've played you videos of other doctors, other counter-state operatives that have worked in the Obama administration and other liberal front groups. You know, taking our freedoms for our own good. But they can't just say it. They can't just war game it. They also need to work with the professionals. One of those professionals is Matthew Harrington. He works for Edelman. Edelman is a public relations firm, and Matthew oversees global operations for Edelman, including the firm's four operating regions, digital practice, an advisory offering, and talent. He's a trusted C-suite advisor, and he's a specialist in corporate positioning and reputation management, and he wants to chime in and say something, and this is what he had to say, Cut 5.
How much control of information should there be, and by whom? And how can false information be effectively challenged? And what if that false information is coming from companies or from governments?
We're at a moment where the social media platforms have to step forward and recognize the moment to assert that they're a technology platform and not a broadcaster is over. They, in fact, have to be a participant in broadcasting accurate information and partnering with the scientific and health communities to counterweight, if not flood the zone, of accurate information, because to put the genie back in the bottle of the misinformation and disinformation is nigh impossible.
Yeah, that's what this professional says. You see, he's a reputation manager, and he knows the best way to manage the reputation of what they're trying to do, the best way to manage their narrative or create their pseudo reality is they need to make sure that they always cloak it in the right information, the correct information. So he says they're no longer social networking outlets. It's no longer social media, you know, where people can get on and put their opinions. They need to be broadcasters. He wants to turn them into little propaganda machines that put out the correct information from the scientific community and the medical community. And my question to him was, which community you're talking about? Because that's kind of a nebulous thing, that scientific community. Because scientists don't always agree on everything. Neither do doctors. Because a lot of our scientific community produced models that said millions were going to die that showed to be flat out wrong. Are those the ones you want to listen to? Now, I did look at the website of Edelman, and they position themselves as globalists for the global community. On the front page, their latest insights in systemic racism, this existential challenge for business. No, systemic racism is not an existential challenge for business. That in and of itself tells me that they're lining up with critical race theory, a Marxist ideology, and they're absolutely playing into the political ideologues. Because I own several businesses. I do business with companies that do billions of dollars of business. Now, I'm not one of those companies that does the billions, but I do business with them. And I can tell you, in all the different fields that I work in, the existential challenge for business is not systemic racism. But he's just part of systemic paternalism. He's part of systemic subversion. And he's a professional. He's going to help manage that. So he thinks that we ought to turn all the social media outlets into just, you know, broadcasters. Then I guess they can be under the same rules and regulations as the rest of the formal broadcasting groups. So I don't know. Someone smarter than me can get a hold of that and work with it. So they're going to go on. They're going to actually tell us they're doing this for our own good. They don't want us to get caught up in, quote, conspiracy theories. I mean, this whole group is basically talking about one big conspiracy theory and how to handle it, yet they're really not, are they? Because they knew what was going to happen. My guess, my opinion. And they just want us to know that when actual people see this and want to work against this global pandemic and not follow their narratives, this is what you have to do. But you need someone to oversee the whole thing. You need someone to be in control, the actual arbiters of truth. You need an honest broker. So how are you going to get that? Well, someone had something to say about that in that group, and they spoke up, Cut 6.
I do think that there needs to be sort of an honest broker, a centralized command and control organization that really brings together the public-private sector, both
on a global approach and also on a local approach.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. And I wanted to speak to the point about having the honest broken. I think in this regard, the United Nations fits the bill.
Fits the bill. Now, I've had a lot of personal dealings with the United Nations. Now, I'm not saying that I've seen planes in Africa that were had United Nations on them transporting any contraband or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the United Nations is not extremely corrupt. In fact, overseas, we just kind of have a saying, you can't spell unnecessary without UN. But I am saying, according to open source information, that the United Nations World Health Organization Director General Tedros Adhanom, and I can't even begin to pronounce the last part of that name, of Ethiopia, serves as a mouthpiece for the Communist Party of China on the global stage. And there's been a lot of questions and concerns about his shadowy communist past, and those questions are getting louder. In fact, they become so loud that the president's heard him, and he wants to defund the World Health Organization, which I totally support. And this guy, this director that works with the UN World Health Organization, has a scandal-plagued background. And there's been a lot of people out there that have shown that communist China has given millions, if not billions of dollars to Ethiopia. And critics have gone so far as to say this gentleman, Tedros, is a Marxist revolutionary. Now, I thought we'd been talking about a Marxist subversion, so he fits right into the narrative, the actual truth, not the pseudo-reality, just the reality of the situation. But he sits atop of the World Health Organization, barking orders at national governments and peddling Beijing's propaganda to humanity. And so far, you know, we don't hear the mainstream media establishment saying much about this guy. All we hear are crickets. But through all the coronavirus pandemic, Tedros has defended China when he should have been focusing on the global counter-pandemic efforts. Instead, all he did was politicize the crisis and help Xi to shirk his responsibilities for a series of wrongdoings in addressing the outbreak. But they already were one step ahead, already meaning the globalists, because they're at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation planning Event 201, figuring out what they're going to do, and they realize they need an honest broker, and that must be the UN. But it didn't stop there. It continues. They needed that honest broker as a UN. But you know what? I look back, because sometimes I do that. I look back in history to the H1N1. And there were several things said about the UN and the World Health Organization. So while they clearly, just a mere 10 years later, say the UN is honest, the World Health Organization is honest, there were some serious questions about the diagnosis of swine flu back during H1N1, during the Obama administration, and there were serious questions about the World Health Organization. Now, I didn't pull this up from some crazy, out there, left-wing, right-wing website. I just pulled this up from, I don't know, Al Jazeera. And Al Jazeera was interviewing Wolfgang Wodarg, who was the EU Parliamentary Health Committee chairman at the time, and he had this to say about the swine flu and about the World Health Organization, and see if anything rings true to what you're seeing today.
But now Wolfgang Wodarg, head of health at the Council of Europe, says they got it wrong. Not only that, they were misled by the World Health Organization and unduly influenced by drug companies.
The WHO, in cooperation with some big pharmaceutical companies and their scientists, redefined pandemics and lowered the alarm threshold. Those new standards forced politicians in most states to react immediately and sign marketing commitments for additional and new vaccines against swine flu and spend billions of dollars to catch up.
Spent all this money, billions of dollars, and they were misled by the World Health Organization and these big vaccine companies. And these same medical professionals are now sitting on a roundtable event called Event 201. And they're talking about how we got to fight against false information, disinformation about vaccine companies, and how the World Health Organization and the UN can oversee all of this. And has anyone seen the irony or just the pseudo reality of this situation? But let's continue. Let's continue along with this event 201, because then Tom Inglesby of Johns Hopkins, he had to weigh in, and he had this to say. Cut 7.
It's important that the UN and WHO remain very clear. But when they challenge governments directly, they often get into this issue of sovereignty. And so I think it's really important not to have that as the only response. I think it's really critical to think about soft power influence.
As important background for this discussion, we want to start the meeting by viewing this news story that just aired on Global News Network.
Stop for a second. Tom wants to talk about soft power and influence. He thinks it's very important because he'll be challenging sovereignty, like the sovereignty here in the United States of America. So we're talking about that soft power that leads to hard consequences. So I guess that soft power might be certain politicians that they can get to come out and shame people. Certain Hollywood elites, athletes, that they can get to come out and be influencers. Remember, they have to all be coordinated around the same message. The news stations, the media will have to be coordinated around the same message, like wear masks, save lives, flatten the curve, you know, good messaging, good public relations, right, Matthew Harrington? I mean, let's just take these social media companies and turn them into little broadcast stations, right? You're a good little propagandist. But they want to show them how to do it too. So again, they have this Global News Network production, and they go back to the big screen they had at this event. Please watch this video. It'll blow your mind. With the Chinese anchor, and she's talking about caps, and which, if you really want to understand this, just change caps to COVID-19 or coronavirus. And this is what they had to say. Cut 8.
Continuing our coverage of the newly discovered CAPS disease and the scope of its deadly outbreaks, there are now more than 30,000 reported cases. Experts warn this may be just the beginning of a global problem. GNN science reporters have produced a video about what we know so far about CAPS, the virus, the outbreak, and the resulting chaos.
CAPS is a novel coronavirus related to those viruses that caused the frightening SARS epidemic in 2003 and the deadly MERS outbreaks in recent years. Scientists think each infected person in turn infects on average 2 more people. This disease is proving more transmissible than SARS or MERS and about as contagious as influenza. Essentially, the cumulative number of cases is doubling every week. At this rate, we can expect to see 16 times as many cases in a month unless we find a way to interrupt transmission. The virus appears to be spreading rapidly in densely populated and impoverished neighborhoods in some megacities in South America. CAPS is a serious respiratory disease. More than half of the recognized cases have required hospital care, creating a huge strain on healthcare systems. The fatality rate is about 10%. For comparison, CAPS is about as lethal as SARS and 2 to 4 times more lethal than the 1918 influenza pandemic, the worst pandemic on record. Even so, some people only exhibit mild flu-like symptoms, not requiring treatment in a hospital. Alarmingly, those people are able to walk around and spread the virus, not realizing they are doing so. Even worse, international travelers have been arriving at their destinations symptom-free, but within a matter of hours, becoming ill. Travel-related cases have blossomed into outbreaks in a number of locations and have quickly grown faster than health authorities could respond and contain them. In other places, physicians have quickly recognized the symptoms of CAPS and have been able to isolate infected individuals and avoid an outbreak, for now. Global public health experts are very concerned about this disease. Because it appears the virus is readily transmitted through the air from person to person, essentially all people are susceptible. Experts agree unless it is quickly controlled, it could lead to a severe pandemic, an outbreak that circles the globe and affects people everywhere. Models developed by leading public health authorities indicate a CAPS pandemic could lead to an outcome worse than the 1918 influenza, which killed 50 to 100 million people worldwide. Given the global population is four times larger than it was in 1918, if these models prove accurate, we could be looking at hundreds of millions of deaths over the next year or two.
And that's what we heard. That's what we heard from the modelers. That's what we heard from the modelers in England, hundreds of millions of deaths. It's what we heard from the modelers here in the United States that worked with the IHME. Those modelers were funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with over a $270 million grant. And those global public health experts said we would lose millions, possibly hundreds of millions. In fact, you realize that this was a fake news report designed just to war game a scenario in October of 2019. Yet it really, if I just changed CAPS to coronavirus, you could use it now. And I'm pretty sure they did a lot of research back then on how to message, because they had Edelman wins behind them and they knew they had to grab that social media broadcasting power. So they blew that narrative right out the door. They didn't have the actual authority to do it, but they had the perceived authority to do it because they had already been the experts wargaming this. So if they control the social media, if they can control about how much information is put out and to whom it goes to, then they can dominate and control the media, as they had, have they had, in government, the mainstream media, and around the world. And when I'm watching all these globalists at this meeting, the one thing that really got the hair up on the back of my neck was a gentleman that stood up and said something. Or actually sat down, but he was saying something. His name is Stephen Redd, and he's a rear admiral in the United States of America. He works with global health initiatives. And he had this to say, cut nine.
The line between disinformation and misinformation is not always an easy one to find.
Governments need to be willing to do things that are out of their historical perspective, or for the most part, it's really a war footing that we need to be on.
It can happen quickly. A Marshall-type plan, don't mean to say that exactly, but a Marshall plan that can go into effect can stimulate a change very quickly.
The distrust relates to the health system more generally.
A step up from the part of the government on enforcement actions against fake news.
I think a couple of things we have to consider are, even before this began, the anti-vaccine movement was very strong.
The anti-vax movement was very strong, that lady goes on to say, and this is something we have to counter. But in the middle of that was Dr. Redd saying that we're going to have to, and I'm paraphrasing, become much firmer. We're going to have to get involved. We're going to have to be on a war footing, as he's wearing his uniform and saying it. Now, this is the same Dr. Redd that recalls substantial preparation in the 3 years before the 2009 H1N1 pandemic. Because there were five functional exercises during that time, which his words, we practice a pandemic response, including mock media interviews and conversations with the World Health Organization. And in the final exercise that took place before 2009 was in October of 2008. So Dr. Redd, he's a professionally experienced exercise planner, because it was October 2008. They planned a pandemic response that, I don't know, they had in 2009. And so when the pandemic occurred in 2009, he said, we were able to respond as we had practiced. So my question to you, Dr. Redd, is, are you able to respond to this current pandemic like you practiced last year? Are you able to co-opt mass media? Are you able to counter disinformation with actual disinformation to prevent the truth from getting out? Or will the truth push through? Because in 2009, when you were practicing in October and you actually had, and in October of 2008, and you had a pandemic in 2009, actual journalism in a portion, even though it was minute, of the mainstream media caught up with you. And it's ironically enough, it was in Russia Today and Al Jazeera. But this is what they had to say, because you guys were searching to support your desire to vaccinate, just like they said right now. currently 10 years later, how you have to watch that anti-vaccine movement. And I don't know why people would be like that. Maybe someone actually saw this report on European news talking with the head of the EU Health Committee about vaccine justification and how you did that and how you fostered fear a decade ago. But don't take my word for it. Let's just listen to the cut. This will be cut 12.
Never before the search for traces of a virus was carried out so broadly and intensively. Besides, many cases of death that happened to coincide with seropositive H1N1 lab findings were simply attributed to swine flu and used to foster fear.
Yeah, they just had to search for traces of virus. Just enough, and then it could coincide with other comorbid conditions that most likely killed the person. And that was a justification so they could push vaccines and foster fear. You see, currently, we are in the middle of a pandemic that has fostered fear. And while I believe that we've had some deaths, and quite a few from coronavirus, we haven't had the deaths that are being reported directly attributed to coronavirus. And the CDC actually backs me up on that and say now only 6% of all coronavirus deaths were actually due to the coronavirus alone. The rest had comorbid conditions. In fact, if you look at the CDC's report, if you're under the age of 60, you have a 99.5% chance of surviving if you get the coronavirus. And so as I lift up and rise up to 100,000-foot view, looking over event 201, looking over the pre-planning event back in 2008 that preceded the pandemic of 2009, the swine flu, if I look at the corollaries, the comparisons, it appears that there was a novel coronavirus or a novel virus, period, that someone or some group decided they were going to make more of it than it actually was. That they were going to push actual conspiracy theories, but scientists, doctors were able to pick up on it at that time. And in the past 10 years, scientists, like the gentleman that invented the PCR test prior to his death, pointed out that this wasn't even designed for medical testing. But someone in the medical community realized they could change the parameters of a test and create a positive test. And I guess if you get enough soft power behind a positive test, you can create some pretty dire hard consequences for a community. Because like I've said for over 6 months, we're not going to be talking about the actual virus a year from now, but we'll be talking about the reaction to the virus for generations. And I thank God that we have a president who is doing everything he can to make this situation open up our country and make America great again. Because the people right now who are claiming to have authority have nothing but pseudo-authority. They have a pseudo-authority that has risen out of pseudo-events that have created a pseudo-reality and given them the patina of an authority. But I will tell you this. Authority arises out of a nature of a superior moral integrity and not simply from one who happens to be higher up the scale than ourselves. I learned that overseas. I learned that based on my faith, because authority must be from a moral, not a superstitious character. To be without any authority is to be lawless, but to have only an internal authority, meaning that I'm my own boss, and not having any moral basis or faith is as bad as having a blind external authority, which is where we see ourselves today. So we have a blind external authority, meaning the counter state or the bureaucratic deep state of our government. I call it the Marxist counter state. And then people that believe they're their own authority. And so what we have now is a lot of lawlessness, a lot of riots, and a lot of people that are just frustrated that we've been in lockdowns, that they really don't understand what this virus is and what's happening with it. So the two types of authority are going to have to meet somehow. An autocratic authority means rule by the rights of insistence. not necessarily by the right of a personal integrity, and it is only the unworthy in a man that does not recognize and submit to worthy authority. Because a moral people will recognize and submit to a worthy authority. And that authority comes, like I discovered in that country, from people that have lived a life where people look at the fruit and what they've done in their life, what they've produced, and they respect that. And if I am to submit to authority of a person, it must demonstrate that the person is greater than I am on the worthy line, the line which is recognized as worthy by the majority of sane humanity. And I believe God is greater along that line. And then I'll bow down to God's authority at once. Now, I understand our president is a perfect man, but I recognize his authority based on what he has done since he has been in office. He is a duly elected president of the United States, and he is doing everything he can with his authority to make this country great again. But the winds of discontent and dissent are brewing against him. There's more than just the event 201 that preceded the pandemic. We now have the Election Integrity Project, which is just more red cell, more pre-war game plans to push an agenda along the lines of a pseudo-authority, a pseudo-event-driven pseudo-reality. So it's my prayer that you'll understand this as you listen to this podcast. And I know it's probably gone a little long again, but I hope that you hung with it. I hope you'll look up the videos and the articles that I put in the show notes. And I hope you'll think for yourself, because our nation is under attack by people that lack moral authority. Not perfect people, but people that seek to undermine the American principles that this country was built on. The sponsor of the scalpel is ZBones, open ear Bluetooth headphones. Now, you usually hear my standard ZBones commercial, but I wanted to do it over again live because I received a package in the mail the other day, and it's the new ZBones Stealth headphones. They've changed the packaging, they've changed the product. It's very sleek. I liked it the first place, but this is badass. It's an open-ear design. It's lightweight. It's comfortable. It has stereo listening, hands-free call. It's sweat-proof for those of you that want to use it for exercise. It has a Bluetooth 5.0 receiver, and it has 6 hours of battery life. This is a comfortable headset that doesn't stick in your ear, jam it up, cause wax buildup. No, it's a bone-conducting headphone. I wear these in the operating room so that if I have to speak to someone or take a call, I can still hear everything that's going on around me. You can wear it with a hat. No one will know you have it on. And if you like to exercise your Second Amendment rights, you can go out to the gun range, have your ear protection on, and still listen to some music and play your ZBones. ZBones are designed with the end user in mind, and that's me. That's you. That's those of us that want to have great music, want to be able to talk, but don't want to have earbuds falling out of our ear. And more importantly, losing expensive earbuds that fall out when you're not paying attention. Because the ZBones fit on your head and then you'll just forget they're there. That is until you turn on your music or you receive a call. ZBones Stealth. You can find it at ZBones.io. And be sure and type in Scalpel70 to let them know you heard it here. ZBones Stealth, open ear design. Sound at the speed of life. I really appreciate you taking the time to join me today. I would also ask that you would take the time to get on your knees and pray for Dan Bongino and his family. I don't know Dan personally, but his podcast, actually, when he substituted for Mark Levin, between him and Mark Levin was what really inspired me to get behind a microphone and say something. And he's going through a lot right now. He has some type of mass in his neck and his body that they don't know if it's cancer or not. And he's a young man. He's 49. And I've been through something, not that, but I had a similar issue. And not knowing is the worst. So please pray for his family. Pray for our nation after that. Let's keep freedom rolling.
Protest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret safe with the NSA. In God we trust or the CIA, standing on the edge of a revolution.
With Dr. Keith Rose. The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bones Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, or the website scalpeledge.com.